Okay, I see there were a couple people here that weren't here last week. So we'll continue a little bit from last week. So if you weren't here, then you don't have much of a chance of understanding anything. Yeah, you can leave now. Okay, in the beginning of this week's parsha, it writes, first source, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, Bahar Sinai Lemor. Dever o b'nei Yisrael amar to Leim, Ki tavo el ha'aretz, asher ani noten lachem, v'shaf ha'aretz Shabbat l'Hashem. And God says to Moshe, Bahar Sinai, when you go into the land, which God will give you, you will have a Shabbat la'aretz. The earth should rest a Shabbat for the land. And one of the things which the commentaries are intrigued about is why over here, of all the places in the Chumash, should it say Bahar Sinai? It's the famous saying that Rashi quotes, Ma'in and Shemitah, Eitzel Har Sinai. Why is Shemitah said in the context of Har Sinai? Isn't it true that all the commentaries, all the prayers given by Har Sinai, why does it say by this particular one? It should really say by every single mitzvah in the Chumash, and God says Moshe Har Sinai, and then tell us the mitzvah, why does it do it over here? So hopefully by the time we're finished today, we will have an appreciation and an understanding of this point as well. What the Chumash goes on to talk about is something, of course, which is called Shemitah. That will work the land for 6 years, and the seventh year the land will rest. The idea of the Shemitah, Shabbat LaHashem, by its terminology, by its laws, it reminds us, of course, of the idea of Shabbat. There are those who have done the calculations, which I'm not going to do now, you can do this on your own, that in the course of 6 years of work, each year has approximately 52 Shabbatot, each year has approximately, you can count how many different holidays there are, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and so on, and you'll come out, you'll find out that at the end of 6 years, there's a whole nother year that the land should have rested as well. The land keeps on going. You plant a tree, it's going to keep on growing. So therefore, it takes 6 years worth of, there are 6 years worth of Shabbatot. Now, we're using the word Shabbat as we did last week. A Shabbat indicates both a Chag and a Shabbat. There are a whole year's worth of days of holidays, Shabbat and holidays, in the course of 6 years, that when we get to the seventh year, we have to take off and have the land rest as well. Because you can't have the land rest in the course of the normal week. I mean, you don't work the land, but things obviously keep on growing. As I said, there are those who do that calculation, and it comes out. If this interests you, then, as I said, you can try this when you get home. Don't count the second days in Chutz La'aretz, because those don't count. But over here, it doesn't stop by Shabbat, which means that we are familiar with the system which says, work for 6 days, rest on the seventh day. Work 6 years, rest on the seventh year. That's a system unto itself. However, when it comes to Shemitah, it continues and it introduces another system, and it says at the end of seven Shemitah, then we get something which is called Yoda. And that's different from Shabbat. Over here, it goes on from Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Zayin, talking about Shabbat, the land. It called it interesting, Shanah Shvi'it, Shabbat Shabbaton Yel La'aretz. Not just the Shabbat, Shabbat Shabbaton, we need a double Shabbat as it were. And then Pasuk Chet, V'safarti lecha Sheva Shabbatot Shanim, Sheva Shanim, Sheva Pamim, Yulotha Yemei Shabbat, Sheva Shabbatot Shanim, Teisha V'arba'im Shana, which leads us to the 49th year, V'havarta Shofar Tru'ah B'chodesh HaShvi'i, V'esor V'chodesh L'yom HaKippurim, Taviyu Shofar B'chol Aretzachem. And in the 50th year, at the end of 7 times 7, then we will have something which is called Yovel. The Shofar will be blown in the 7th month, in the 10th of the month, in Yom Kippur. We will see why in a moment. V'kidashtem et shnat ha-chamishim, you should sanctify the 50th year. Shanao Kartan Dror Ba'aret, freedom will ring out in the land, the Chol Yoshveh for all its inhabitants, Yovali. The 50th year is called Yovel. And in this Yovel, Yelachem B'Shavtem Ish El Achuzato V'Ish El Mishpato Tashuv. Man will return back to his natural place of the land, his Achuzah, V'Ish El Mishpato, and man will return back to his family. Now, any of you who paid attention last week, and probably even a couple of you didn't even pay that much attention, you'll realize that the 49 reminds us about what we learned last week, and it was a very similar formulation. There it says, when it was discussing the Omer, it says you'll count 7 times 7 weeks, you'll get to the 49th, and of course, the 50th is known as Chag HaBikurim. As far as we're concerned, the 50th has another significance as well, and that is Chag Matan Torah. So what we're seeing over here is something which is beyond the 7th, and when you go beyond the 7th, you can do this in a couple of different ways. I mean, theoretically, when you go beyond Shabbat, 7 days of the week, what is beyond Shabbat? So I don't know how to answer that question. What is beyond 7? So beyond 7, I can say, is 8. But 8, you go back to the beginning of the beginning. So there, it seems to be over here, the 7 times 7 takes you beyond. And in order, when you go to 7 times 7, then you get Shabbat Shabbaton. Now why specifically on Yom Kippur is the shofar sounded? Because Yom Kippur is also a Shabbat Shabbaton. So here we have two different Shabbat Shabbatons merging together, and on this day is when freedom will ring out, and it's called Yovel. See, if we were paying attention, and I want to repeat something that I said last week from the Ramban. The Ramban told us that the relationship between Chag Shavuot and Pesach is the same relationship as Shmini Atzeret and Chag Sukkot. It's the same idea. But you'll say to me, it can't be the same idea. Because here we have 7 weeks, 7 times 7, and there we just have the 8. So my point is that the 8, which is beyond 7, is the same thing as 7 times 7. And if you really want to think about it, what do we do on the 7th day of Sukkot? What's that called? Hoshana Rabbah. What do we do? What do we do on that day? No, the day before Sukkot Torah. Hoshana Rabbah, we go around the Bima 7 times. So each day we go around the Bima once with the Arba Minim. We're trying to make the Mikdash at a distance. Each day you go around once, but on the 7th day you go around 7 times. So what do you call that on the 7th day? We do 7. That's 7 times 7. And what does that lead to? That leads to either the 8th or to the 50th. But it depends upon the context. Which means when you get to the 8th and you get to the 50th, it really is, I'm not going to say the same idea, but it's a very similar idea. But it's somehow pushing beyond the 7th. I would even suggest that if we didn't pay attention last week, in Parakuf Bet, you know that we're, once again, we are not responsible for the division of the Parshiyot, correct? The beginning of Parakuf Gimel is V'Dibar Hashem Asher L'Mor, D'Bar V'Nitzor Mark L'Heyem, Mo'adei Hashem Asher Tzikrot Tamikorei Kodesh. Here are the holidays. And where does it start? Sheshinim Tasem Alachat. It starts the 6 days of the week, and the 7th is Shabbat. And there we have this idea of the 7th. What comes immediately before this, at the end of the 22nd chapter? And again, this is on source 8, if you don't have your from that. There is also a 7 or beyond 7, which perhaps when you read this last week, it meant absolutely nothing to you, but I suspect it may mean more. The Shor B'Shem, excuse me, Shor O'Kesef O'Eiz Kiyavaleh V'yashivat Yamim Tapadimo V'yom Hashmini V'Hala Yeretzeh V'Kurban Yishev Hashem. That for 7 days when a calf is born, it's inappropriate to use it, it's not allowed to be used as a Kurban, but you have to wait for the eighth day. And then it continues, Vishor Oseh, otov et b'no lo tishchatu b'yom echad, and not to slaughter the mother and its offspring in one day. So we have these two laws given together, and as I said, when you looked at these, you probably did not connect them in any way, shape, or form with the idea of Shabbat, which actually comes immediately afterwards, or with the Omer, which comes immediately after that, with Pesach and the Omer. But it may be a similar idea, and hopefully we'll have a chance to come back to it.
Why
didn't
it say the Nah? It should be the Nah.
Correct. It means the Nah.
It means the Nah.
Correct.
It makes sense of the Nah.
Correct. It's hard to determine paternity by animals. Yeah.
You associated two houses and two holidays together. Can you repeat that?
Everything from the beginning?
No.
You just said that Pesach.
What I said is Pesach is to Shavuot and Sukkot is to Shemini Atzeret.
Oh.
The difference is that by the Omer you count 49 days, the 7 times 7, and on Hoshana Rabbah you go around 7, you have 7 days, and on the 7th day you go around 7 times, which gives you the same 49, and then you get to either Chag HaAtzeret or you get to Shemini Atzeret. Of course, if you start to think about it, you realize there's a deeper connection between the two, which is Matan Torah. One is the day we receive the Torah, and the other day is we celebrate some Matan Torah. So now, is that just a coincidence, or is there something deeper going on? Okay. But in order to get back there, we have to pay attention to another little piece of information, and that is, how was the 50th day designated? What was it called? It was called Yovel. So what exactly is a Yovel? Well, of course, we're very sophisticated, so we know that Yovel means the Jubilee. The 50th, the Jubilee. But what exactly is a Jubilee? What is a Yovel? So the word Yovel has been used in the Chumash before. This is not the first time that it's used. And if you would have paid attention to the first time that the word Yovel was used, then you will understand its significance. And that's a general principle. Whenever you... We're in Gresham. Where?
Yuval
is not Yovel. If you want to know the meaning of something, you always have to find the first time that it's used, because that really sets it. That defines what it is. So what exactly is Yovel, and where is it used for the first time? Those of you searching through the sources, looking for the... It is indeed here. It's Perek Yud Tet in Shmot, Pasuk Yud Gimel. I don't know if just by saying Perek Yud Tet that already helps you. But the context of Perek Yud Tet are the preparations for Ma'amad Har Sinai. We're told over here of those who have to stay away from going up the mountain and be careful of the mountain, because the mountain is holy, or perhaps even holy of holies. And therefore only Moshe can go up, others can be on the side, but one has to be careful about this. For which duration do they have to be careful? So Perek Yud Tet, Pasuk Yud Gimel says, we'll actually go back a little bit. Pasuk Yud Bet says, V'hikbalta et ha'am saviv lemor, hishamru lachem alot bahar, and put up a bull, put up some kind of a barrier for the people around, and warn them that they should not go up the mountain. When the goal of the cafe, which touches its borders, whoever touches the mountain will be put to death. The mountain has become a place of holy of holies. By the way, remember that the 50th day is Chag Bikurim. The 50th day is Chag Matan Torah. We saw that the 50th is called Shabbat Shabbaton, right? Shabbat Shabbaton is Yovel. Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbaton. What actually happens in Yom Kippur? That's when the Jews receive the Torah. That's when Moshe comes down and we'll call it the second time. What eventually happens on Yom Kippur is then you have this idea of going into the Holy of Holies, which means that the whole Avodah of Yom Kippur ultimately will reflect what goes on over here in terms of the mountain. Where the mountain, where Moshe here goes up, but you can't have anybody else going in, there you have the Kohen Gadol going inside, but therefore the Shabbat Shabbaton aspect of Yom Kippur actually reflects to a certain level the Shabbat Shabbaton aspect of what happens after 7 times 7. 7 times 7 also leads you to Shabbat Shabbaton. So again, you have Shabbat Shabbaton in terms of its quality, which is Yom Kippur. You have Shabbat Shabbaton in terms of the numbers, which is what Chag HaShavuot is. But when it comes to its essence, one time the first luchot were given, the other time the second luchot were given. When it comes to its essence, both of them are Yom, or days of Matan Torah. And now we realize that Simchat Torah, which comes after Yom Kippur, that's really the celebration of receiving that Torah. Which means when the Jews come, when Moshe comes down from the mountain finally, when are they going to celebrate receiving the Torah? So immediately afterwards we have Chag Sukkot. At the end of Chag Sukkot, God says, listen, something special. What is that special thing? We celebrate Simchat Torah then. So therefore the Simchat Torah really is celebrate the receiving of the Torah on Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur is Shabbat Shabbaton, and in a sense now you understand that the Chag HaAtzeret is also a type of a Shabbat Shabbaton.
Shmini HaAtzeret is in the Torah. Simchat Torah.
Correct.
Simchat Torah is an invention that we invented.
Absolutely.
So therefore, how can we say that that is part of what we just said? I mean, it just doesn't follow, because it doesn't follow. It's something we made up.
Correct. Now the question is, why do we make it up over here? I'm saying that that's...
Because that's when we finish the Torah.
No. The other way around. Why do we choose to finish the Torah there? I mean, where's the chicken and where's the egg? Which is, why make the decision to finish the Torah specifically at this particular junction? Which, by Simchat Torah, or what we call Shmini HaAtzeret. Which is, you're absolutely correct that what I just now said is not true on the Torah level. But nonetheless, Chazal, and of course we can be more sophisticated and say there were differences between Eretz Yisrael and between Babel, the Palestinian, the Trilennial, and so on.
Also the three-year.
Correct, the Trilennial is a three-year. Again, but the question comes down to, why make the decision that at this particular juncture to finish the Torah, obviously Chazal felt there is something about that day, there's something within the character of that day, which would point towards it being a celebration of receiving the Torah. So now saying, that by itself makes no... I mean, at first glance, why choose it? It sounds arbitrary. So you know what? You could say, you know what? You have Shmini HaAtzeret, you have nothing else to do, you already got out of the Sukkah, you already got rid of the Lulav, so let's find something for it. Okay, let's find something for it. But you know what? With apologies to Cheesecake, today there's not much to do on Chag Shavuot either. There also isn't any special mitzvot hayom, which means, again, in terms of the character of the two, the characters really are quite similar. Again, it seems to me that the proximity of Shmini HaAtzeret, having a day without anything to do, following Yom Kippur, when the luchot were given, the second luchot were given, and this parallel, and a lot of this is based upon Kabbalistic idea, this parallel of the 7 times 7, which leads up to the 50th, and having here again the 7 times 7 leading up to the 50th, therefore reveals that Yom Shmini HaAtzeret really is the same day as Atzeret. And when you say that the name is the same, they're both called Atzeret, then you say, okay, there is something intrinsic which connects the two. Of course, in the Chumash, none of this is said. Then again, let's share another secret that we know. Doesn't say that Chag HaAtzeret, Chag Purim is Yom Matan Torah and the Chumashim. Never says that either. So you're upset that it doesn't say it by Shmini HaAtzeret. Guess what? It doesn't say it by Atzeret either. So therefore the same tradition which is going to come and tell us that really the 50th day is the day that Torah is given, say, you know what? This is also a 50th of sorts. And that's why, and that's the idea that we're developing.
Right,
what's
happening? You said that the 50th day is not for
Say that again, the 50th?
You said the Yovel, not Shabbat Shabbaton. But then you just compared it to...
No, the Yovel is. The Yovel is the Shabbat Shabbaton. The Yovel...
You said it doesn't say that by any
means. No, it does. It does.
You said
that
Yovel
is
four,
but it doesn't say it
about
Yovel. Yeah? Yeah. Should we have
started 50th day from
Moshe? No. It's... When I said the 50th... When you look at the 50th day, which is after 7 times 7 of counting the Omer, that gets you the 50th day. Right? And that's Teres, Chag HaShavuot. When you look at the 7 days of Sukkot, at the end of the 7 days of Sukkot is Hoshana Rabbah, and then you go around the Bima 7 times, So that suggestion is that gives you the same 7 times 7, and that leads you to whatever is beyond 7. So my point is, what's 8 is beyond 7, and 50 is beyond 7 times 7. When it comes down to it, there are similar ideas over here. Again, those of you who are not noticing this yet, the idea of beyond 7 is beyond the physical. Right? The number eight always points out to the metaphysical. 7 days of the week are the physical, number eight always points towards the metaphysical. Stay with that a second and let us return to our yoga, because we still have to figure out what yoga is. Over here, it says that you make borders around this mountain. You don't let people go up the mountain. Lo tigabo yad kisako yisakel yor yira in behema yimishlo yisir bimshok hayobel hema yalu bahar. By the end of the yovel, they can get then go off the mountain. So here in the context of Matan Torah, the word yovel is used. What does, and it's not the only time it's used here, it's used here more than once. What does yovel mean here? Rashi tells us in Shoch HaYovel, Rashi writes in verse number 2 in Shoch HaYovel, Tishim Shoch HaYovel Kol Aroku Siman Siluk Shchina of Sakat HaKol V'Kevet Shin Salei Him Rasha'in La'alot. It's a sign, it's a sound, it's a siren to tell you that it's over. But what kind of sound is it? A yovel, hu shofar sho'ayim. So Rashi tells us that the yovel is the sound of the shofar. And that's one of the things that we know about Matan Torah. We know about Matan Torah that it says kol shofar, that the sound of the shofar was great, was extreme. Right? So therefore, again, on the 50th day, which is Chag Bikurim, which is Chag Matan Torah, and all this is based upon the Torah. It's Chag Matan Torah. What happens on this day? The shofar blows the whole time, and then during the time of the blowing of the shofar is the time of revelation. During that time, one cannot go up the mountain, right? And this is the term which is used over here is Yovel. We go back to the 50th year on the Yovel, on Yom Kippur, which is Shabbat Shabbaton and Shabbat Shabbaton. So on Shabbat Shabbaton times Shabbat Shabbaton, I don't know what number you get when you do that. What's the matter? Excellent. On Yovel.
Only on Yovel.
Only on Yovel. And that may be the reason. One second. That may be the reason why we blow the shofar even today at the end of Yom Kippur. That may be the reason. But it's interesting. Again, go back to the parallel that I just now said. That eventually the avodah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur will be parallel to Moshe's going up to Har Sinai. The whole har is Kodesh HaKadoshim, but it's a temporary Kodesh HaKadoshim. No one can go in. No one can go into it. What is the idea of the blowing of the shofar? So here actually Rashi indicates Sivuk HaShchinah. It means that the Shekhinah has come to an end. That the holiness has come to an end. We use it slightly differently, because we blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur to tell you that the Yom Gadol, the Kadosh, has now come to an end, and there is a Sivuk Shekhinah. The Shekhinah has left. Just one more second before I read the rest of the Rashi here. What's that? There was a part of Rashi I did not give you, so let me read it, because it's the Rashi before. Yimshoka yovel, ki yimshoka yovel, kol aroku siman siluk shchinah. That means that this idea of the sound of the shofar indicates that the Shekhinah had left, which means according to what Rashi is saying right here, there was the sound of the shofar accompanying the giving of the Torah, but at the very end there would be like a long tkiah indicating that now the Shekhinah is going back into the heavens, and now one can go up on the mountain again, and now this mountain has lost its holiness. Now, if we go back to Yom Kippur, and of course you ask, where do we see on Yom Kippur that you have to blow the shofar? Go back to source number one by Pasuk Chet. The Sefarat Lecha Sheva Shabbatot Shanim, Sheva Shanim, Sheva Pa'amim. So you look, that is your Shabbat Shah, your
Shmei
Tanyo. Sheva Shabbatot Shanim, Teisha Vim Shana, V'avarta shofar t'vorah b'chodesh ha-shiri'i b'tzor v'chodesh v'yom kippurim t'aviyu shofar b'chol artachem lo d'shofar an yom kippur. And then what are we told afterwards? V'kidashim shem, right? What's it called? It's called Yovel. So now why is it called Yovel? So now we understand that the meaning of Yovel goes back to the sound of the shofar. It is the sound of the shofar which links this Yovel with the previous Yovel, because in the previous context, it's Yovel is what is called the sound of the shofar. That, again, is the 50th day, which is 49, 7 times 7. This is the 50th year, and that is Shabbat Shabbaton, compounded by Shabbat Shabbaton, which is Yom Kippur, which again for us is significant, that the day the Torah eventually is given, the second Lukot, which merges them together, the first and the second giving of the Torah, the first Lukot and the second Lukot. On that day the shofar is given, but the shofar has to remind us to the shofar that was sounded by Har Sinai. Everything till now clear?
Mm-hmm. Question.
Well, we won't get anywhere today.
The yoga indicates the end of the Shekhinah and the beginning of the Shekhinah, or just the end that it's leaving?
It sounds like it indicates the end.
So if it indicates the end, why would it be, say, it's a shofar sound of yoga?
So on Yom Kippur, in the Chumash, what we do makes sense. We use the same way. We use the Tkiyat Gola at the end of Yom Kippur to say Tzibur HaShinah. That makes perfect sense what we're reading over here. But again, let's just go to the basic point. The word Yovel means sound of shofar. That's what Rashi is telling us. That's what the
sound of shofar is at the end of something?
Not necessarily. But it indicates sounds of the shofar. That is what Yovel is. Yovel is the sound of shofar. Now you could say the sound of freedom will ring throughout the cities, the sound of the Yovel, but it means freedom. It means the sound of shofar, which has a connotation then of drawer of freedom. Well, let's go on a little bit, because as I said, we don't understand anything yet.
Holiness of the day, when it's ushered in as well, is the unblowing of shofar. The time that the Shekhinah is with us, the holy time, the metaphysics of it,
right?
Then the whole thing becomes kadosh. My problem is that you get this in the end and not during and not the beginning. What is it?
Let's go on.
Thank you.
Why did you go beyond? So far, in your mind, you should right now be completely confused,
yes,
and realize at least that there's something going on between the Omer, the 49 days of the Omer, Chag HaShavuot, between Shemitah, the 49 and the Yovel, between Yom Kippur, because the guy gave Shabbat Shabbaton. Somehow we threw in this idea of keeping an animal for seven days, and said maybe that's related as well, because it says keep it for 7 nights till the eighth. The eighth again is beyond. By Sukkot we see we have 7 days and the eighth becomes beyond. The Simchat Torah now also seems to fit into this. And Brit Milah as well is related to this, but can you give me a second, we'll come back to Brit Milah. And then right immediately following that pasuk, it then when it tells us, no, Tov Efano, which means that there seems, on a basic level, I would say, laws of cruelty to animals. That it's cruel and unusual to take the newborn away, and you can argue it's always cruel to kill an animal. But it's cruel certainly to take the newborn away, then it doesn't kill the mother and the child in the same day. Also, it is cruel. As I said, at first glance, it has nothing to do with anything. Let's go on and look at the Ramban's comments now on Yoga. Ramban, source number 3. You thought I only gave you 4 pages, we can get through them all today, right? No.
I
mean, right now it's getting realistic. The Ramban writes, "V'mshocha Yovel heima yalu bahar hu shofar shel ayah v'shofar shel elo shel Yitzchak haya." So now we just added one more element. That not only is it the shofar, because once you say shofar, right? One could say shofar. Shofar comes from the horns. Again, we always go back to the first time that something is mentioned. Where is the first time we find the horns mentioned? We find where they get entangled, and therefore the shofar takes us back to Yitzchak, and that's based on Pirkei Avot. Loshon Rashi, lo hivanti, lo habinoti zeh, ki elosh Yitzchak olah hikrivota. It was brought as an olah, as an offering. For Kanaim v'tuflim kol nisraf followed. When you bring an olah, everything is burnt. How can it be left over? Why the baal kashvur afar kreno v'chziru l'mashaya? So maybe it was recycled. The Ramban's a little bothered by a technical point. Again, one can argue with the Ramban, let's not get carried away in the laws of how you bring an olah, which is developed later, going back to what Avram actually did, but that's a problem. But I suspect that he wrote all this because he wanted to say something else. He wrote, Avolati da'atik, and that's really what he wanted to get to. Agadah hazu yesh la sod. There is a secret. And whenever the Ramban says sod, it means mystical secret. From Rusha zeh hakol hu pachad Yitzchak. The sound is something called pachad Yitzchak. That's what it is.
Well, that's the shofar?
No, the yovel. The yovel is, it's the sound of the shofar, which, the sound of the shofar represents pachad Yitzchak. Because the shofar takes the place, or the ayel takes the place of Yitzchak. The sound of the shofar takes the place of the sound of Yitzchak, and therefore he says there's something much deeper going on over here, and this is called Pachad Yitzchak. Ulechein Amar, and therefore it says a couple of psukim later, by Matan Torah, Pasuk Tet Zayin, V'yihi V'yomer Shlishi V'yot HaBoker V'yikolot Uvrakim V'anan Kaved Alahar V'kol Shofar Chazak Ma'od V'yicharat Kul Ha'am. So one second. Here you see the shofar in black and white. The Ramban is telling us that the shofar is the yovel. The yovel is the shofar. Correct? But over here, there's something much deeper, saying this is Pachad Yitzchak. Now, what is this? So again, on the simple level, the Pachad Yitzchak is reflected to, because Yitzchak is on the altar, right? And he is saved, and then the Ayel takes his place. And therefore, the shofar, which becomes entangled, takes the place of the scream of Yitzchak. And the, but that's not all which I think concerns the Ramban. There's another word over here specifically that he was focusing on. And that word is Vayichrad Kol Ha'am. How do I know that? Because when he quoted the Pasuk, he didn't quote the whole first part of it. Go back and look what he quoted. He says, Vachin Amar Vayichrad Kol Ha'am Asher Machaneh. Lo Hisigu Dibur Digbura Hazot Zulti Kol. All that they got was the coal. And that's what happened by Har Sinai. But what is the Vayichrad? What does this have to do with Yitzchak? Why is he focusing on that word? What's the answer? What's the answer? Okay, that's the Pachad Yitzchak. Correct, and that's the Gevurah. Correct. But what is the Vayichrad? That's what he's going on. Look at the next verse. Vayomer lo Yitzchak aviv mi ata vayomer ani bencha v'forcha isa v'yichrad Yitzchak charada. So here, the Ramban is doing the exact same thing I already told you. You want to know what Yovel means? You go back and find the first time that Yovel is used. You want to know what Vayichrad is? Go back and look at the first time that Vayichrad is used. And therefore, what the Ramban is really telling us over here is that the sound of the shofar is related to the charadah of Yitzchak or the pachad Yitzchak. But the Pachad Yitzchak, more than any other place, manifests itself at this particular time. By the way, what did Yaakov bring when he went inside to Yitzchak? What did he bring?
Venison.
What did he really bring? How many?
Two.
He brought two goats. What does that remind you of? The Avodah Yom Kippurim. But I'm saying, but he worded two. Sir La Hashem and Sir La Azazel, Yaakov and Esau. But he goes in with two. And what is the Charadah over here? The Charadah is Now, I could say that the Charedite is the confusion then. And that this goes into a whole different discussion. What did Yitzchok know? What did Yitzchok expect? What was Yitzchok thinking? Which I don't want to get into. But I do understand that at some level, the Ramban is telling us that this, the Yichrad Ha'am, the fear of the people, which is what the Yovel is related to the Pachad Yitzchak, is related to this idea of this fear of Yitzchak. And I would say on the simplest level that the fear of Yitzchak should have been based upon the incredible scream that Esav has right afterwards. And Esav says that as soon as my father is dead, I'm going to kill Yaakov. He says, I'll kill my brother. Which means that part of the fear is that because of what's happened over here, it could be because of favoring the wrong one. It could be because giving the wrong one. You can read into this however you want, but now it's not time to go into this. But now now Yitzchak has to be afraid of his strong, athletic, extremely angry son who wants to kill his other son. Even though I will admit that Yitzchak did not hear those words, he said it to himself, and he didn't even say it yet. But if Yitzchak does know a little bit about Esav, then that should have been his concern. A matter of fact, we'll go one step further. Vayechrad is when he finds out that he gave the bracha to the wrong one. When Yaakov finally meets up with Esav, he uses a very interesting turn of phrase, which now maybe we will recognize. And things will begin to come together. It's in verse 17. Hatzileni na, please save me, miyad achi, from the hand of my brother, miyad esav, which of course is superfluous, ki yarei anochi, now Yaakov is afraid, hen yavo vihitani, King it should be, Im Albanim, where he's going to kill the mother with children. And of course you have to recognize the idea of killing the mother with the child. The mother with the child goes back to that other eight that we noticed beforehand. And actually those of you who asked, is Brit Milah fit into all this? Of course Brit Milah fits into all this. Because even though one would be tempted to say that Avraham is the one who's more connected with Brit Milah than anyone else, who was the first person in history who actually had a Brit Milah on the proper day, on the eighth day, and that is, of course, Yitzchak.
Yishmael was
13, and he was eight days old. That means that the idea of Brit connecting to 8 days does relate back to Yitzchak. It's interesting now, if you look at the Zohar in source 11, it's going on the pasuk Adam uvehima tashia Hashem, that God brings salvation to animals and to people, or to people and to animals. On the end, verse 11, at the end it writes Adam, no, it's Adam and Behema, Adam uvehim shmonat yamin imol lachem kol zachar, on the 8th day circumcision. Behema v'yashirat yamin tachat imol v'yom ha-shmini v'hala yiratzev ha-korban. That means that it's only appropriate to be a korban on the eighth day, and the Zohar here is making an absolute correlation between the idea of the Brit Milah on the eighth day and the korban of the animal on the eighth day. So somebody who heard a bach kol before, somebody suggesting that there is a relation between Brit Milah and this idea of the eighth day by the animal, so the Zohar points that out as being some kind of a relationship. In source number 10, the Otsar Midrashim quotes from the Midrash Yilam Benyu, again where it's underlined at the bottom, Vayashivat Yamin Tachat Imo, She'im Nishchat Te'achad Yamin, Savur Shehu Shachut L'Shem Echad Shemidra B'Sheshit Yimei B'Reshit, Elo Yimaten Sheva Yamin She'idza She'ani Bereiti Olami V'Shisha Yamin V'Nachti V'Shvili V'Lihu Mitkareit. In order to say that I am transcendental, God says, why wait 8 days? That it's not something which is related to the 6 days of the week or even the seven, which is part of the natural order, but rather as I created the natural order and transcend the natural order, therefore the Korban, which is four, relates to God who's in transcendental mode. So again, this idea of the seven and the eight is something which is the eight being beyond the seven, the eight being transcendental. the aping part of the different system. So far we now have gone a little bit further. We understand that this idea of killing the mother together with the children on some level is the Pachat Yitzchak. The idea of one brother killing another is part of this Pachad Yitzchak, the fear that they will not be able to get along together, the fear that this is going to end up in tragedy, is all part of this Pachad Yitzchak. And this allows us now to go one step further and to notice something that maybe we didn't notice. And there was actually a chance I was going to get here last week. Look in source 23. You know what? Let's start with verse 22. This really was left over from last week. I may even have read it. This is from the pre-Tzadik Chag HaShavuot. The pre-Tzadik, of course, is a Tzadik according from Lublin. V'Hashem Yitzbarach B'Torah Shevetzah Korei L'Chag B'Shem Shavuot. V'Shem Shiva Shavuot. Shavuot. Shivchan Sheyisrael Yitzbarach B'Zorah Kodesh. Right, and all that we learned last week. Amukuchi Grisku, Mikhanu Bahala, Kushbina, Lyukta, the Savarta Nochem. Batirahu Hatshuka, Litaher. Right, the seer is this desire of the Jews to purify themselves. But they Israel, Acharitim, and Shrayim, Safu Sheva, Pa'amun Sheva, they count seven times seven, the Tshuka Tama, the Kabel Torah, out of their desire to receive the Torah. And therefore they were able to fix all of the midot, which again we learned last week related to the 49 different levels. Sheva pa'amim, I skipped one word, Sheva atayim, Sheva pa'amim sheva. And because of this, they were able to fix themselves Sheva atayim, which is 7 times 7, and therefore they were able to be worthy to receive the Torah. Any of you recognize the word Shiva time? Good. Let's look at time. Source 23. Next source. V'yehi mikeit yamim v'yevo kain mipri adama mincha l'Hashem. V'ava hebel gam hu mi b'chorot sono michal veyin v'yisha Hashem el hebel v'el minchato. Kain, who was the worker of the land, he brought a gift to God, and hebel brought from his flock. What's the difference between Hevel's offering versus Cain's offering? There's one word which is missing, which is bold by Hevel, which is not there by Cain. What word is that? Right from the first, from the choice. The first is something where there's excitement about, the first is considered to be the choice, and over here that's the word which is lacking by Cain. Cain gives me Kriya Adama. And, you know, if I just read that verse by itself, it would not have sounded so bad. He brings me Kriya Adama. But when I look at Hebel's gift, Gamhu Mibuchorot Sono, what? Gamhu Mibuchorot Sono. He did what his brother did. His brother is the first one to do it, but he does it in a finer way. And I know that, why? Because it says, Vayisha Hashem El Hebel Ve'el Men Chato. That God accepts the gift of Hebel. Okay, I'm skipping now a whole bunch after he kills him. What's the response there? Kol harei kayin shiva kayin yukam. So, one thing which is interesting is, what do I see over here? I have a situation where somebody does not bring from his first fruits. That means, what doesn't kayin do? He doesn't bring bikurim. That's what it says here. He doesn't bring Bikurim. So what can I therefore assume he was supposed to do? He's supposed to bring Bikurim. If you now look at source 24, the Pirkei D'Elazar explains, V'yihi kain ish ohev l'zroah, v'yihi hevel ish ohev l'rotzon. Ze notein mimalachato ma'achal v'zeh v'higia leilo yomto v'pesach v'kara adam levanav v'amar lahen atidin Yisrael v'hakriv korbanot psachim Hikrivu gam atem b'fnei barachem. It's amazing. But according to the Pirkei of the Lezer, what was the context? And again, we have to understand this. What was the context? You know, we had enough trouble understanding months ago why Abraham was eating matzah, why Lot was eating matzah. And now we're learning that Cain and Hevel, that the korban that they were supposed to be bringing is related to Korban Pesach. That's again, let's try to understand this. Adam says in the future, Am Yisrael will bring Korban Pesach, bring a Korban Pesach. The Vitayin, let's look carefully what he brings. The Vitayin mutar ma'aklo kliyot zera pishtan. He brings like leftovers when he has what he brings. Pishtan, which is really not all that edible and not all that desirable, which is exactly the point, is the hebel mi b'charot, so no, michal zayim, kvasim shalo nigzuzu v'tzemeh. Those of you paying attention, this is the source, there's a Midrash Tanhuma as well, that the two korbanot, or the two represent respectively, tzemeh with pishtan, represents together the idea of shatnez. And that the mitzvah of shatnez is created as a result of Cain killing Hevel. Okay, this is what is beneath the surface of this text. Now, one thing which is perhaps now very instructive, if Cain kills Hevel right after they get into this fight regarding the Korban Pesach that didn't work out properly, so when does he kill him? He kills him by the beginning of the Omer. Which means the idea of the Omer, Meshalo Nagu Kavod Zemrezeh, you see the Midrash is trying to take this idea all the way back to the very first time in history that two people don't get along with one another. The idea of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva not getting along with one another, here we have the archetype, the core of two people not getting along with one another, and to the extent of actually killing one another. And I'm saying that the context of Pesach makes that all that much interesting, because after Pesach, many of the time, two Pesach, and between Shavuot. Also, the use of the term within this context of Shivatayim, Shivatayim being 7 times 7, is, it says, now, whoever, after he does Shiva, whoever kills Cain will suffer Shivatayim. I'm saying within the same context, maybe that's part of what alerted Chazal, or Chazal was sensitive to, when they therefore took this whole context and they brought it back within the idea of a korban Pesach. But now, if we go back to Chag HaShavuot, what do we do on Chag HaShavuot? On Chag HaShavuot, we bring the Bikurim. So therefore, the Bikurim which we bring on Chag HaShavuot is a tikkun for the behavior of Cain, because Cain didn't bring, which means that's what's left. Hevel is gone. Cain is left. Cain didn't bring of his first fruit. So therefore, what we do is we bring, at the end of the short time, or at the end of the 7 times 7, we end up bringing the Bikurim. And now, what I'm suggesting is to understand the Bikurim that we bring on Chag Shavuot to relate it back to the Korban or the offering, which was inappropriate because it was not Bikurim. The second thing which I'm suggesting now is that when we look at the idea of the Shemitah, what did we see there? What were the words that were used there in the beginning? Vishatim ish elachuzato v'ish el mishpachto. It talks about a return back to a person, back to their place, and a return of a person back to the family. Or the end of the pasuk gimel, al tanu ish et achiv. People should not deceive their brother. Or perhaps in source 29, yisi yamuch achiv umatay yado imach v'chaktabo yevet hashav v'chay imach. If your brother loses his money, then you have to pick him up, even the stranger who lives among you. You should be looking at him as a brother, and that's when we get the famous verse right afterwards. Al tikach mito neshef v'tarbit. Don't take any interest from him. Rather, v'yareid malkecha, fear God, v'chei achicha imach. And your brother shall live with you. Your brother shall live with you. Where is all this place? This is in the context of Shemitah. This is in the context of the idea of Shemitah and Yoga, of people who don't have. And therefore, the people that don't have, you have to try to create a situation of unity. Now, let's think one step further. What is the most important thing that takes place by Har Sinai when the sound of the shofar is blowing, when they get to the foot of the mountain? What does the Chumash there say? Again, this is something which you should have already thought of. It says, V'yichan Shan Yisrael. Right? They all gather together, and Rashi says, or let's read the pasuk again so that everybody notices it. Source 27. The Chodesh HaShlishi v'Seifin Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim V'Yom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. The Yisumer Rikidim V'Yavo Midbar Sinai V'Yachanu B'Midbar V'Yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. It says V'Yisu'u V'Yavo'u V'Yichanu. All that was plural. Then when it gets to Har Sinai, then it's V'Yichan. Then it changes to the singular. That's why Rashi says V'Yichan Sham Yisrael Ki'ish Achad B'Leiv Achad. And as I mentioned before, that's what it means when we say by Dayenu, we say that Hilu, Hirabdu, of Nehar Sinai, the Lok Saban of the Torah Dayenu. Had we only gotten to Har Sinai and we've not gotten the Torah, it would be enough. What do you mean it's enough? It's enough because just to encourage that unity. So now we understand that part of Har Sinai, which is the result of after 7 times 7, the result of the Christian say, is this idea of this merger together, the return together of feeling as one. When we go later on and look at Shita and Yovel, there we get to the situation, we finally have the Chayat Yisimach. And now I go back to the question that I raised in the beginning. Why by Shmita and Yovel does it say, Behar Sinai Lemar? Because the law over here is a replica of the situation by Har Sinai. It's a replica in the sense that the 49 days which lead up to the 50th day, so then we have the 49 years which lead to the 50th year. Again, if you have to wait for 50 years to feel a sense of unity. But nonetheless, this idea of receiving the Torah on the 50th day, and the idea of the Yom Kippur, which is the day of receiving the Torah, all these elements come together on that point. And then you have the Shofar, which is the Pachad Yitzchak. What's the Pachad Yitzchak? The idea of brothers not getting along. The idea of perhaps, as the author says, of a mother and child being killed together. And all of these ideas that then come together, and the response, instead of what we should be feeling, both by Chag Shavuot, in terms of Matan Torah, right, by Yichan, to get this feeling of unity, and the idea of the Jubilee, that's the liberating part, is that we're able to get to the point of the Chei Achicha Imach, of brothers returning back and living together. And then we realize that the whole sin of Kain and Heva, within, again, according to Pirkei Avot, goes back to the context of between Pesach and Shavuot. That enlightened us both in terms of the negative aspect of the Omer, of the Tamil Yerid, the Kila Shalonogu, that we find that right over there within Kain and Hevel. And on the other hand, we find the idea of not offering the Bikurim, and the sequence of that, of course, will be offering the Bikurim on the 50th day. And that offers it. Yeah?
The thing I'm not clear on is the shofar. Especially since its usage among both farting and people who daven Torah in Rosh Hashanah is actually during Tefillah. And if you're saying it's kind of an ending where you're saying the Shekinah is a symbol for the Shekinah leaving, then why have...
One second. The question I didn't answer before
yeah.
is that it would seem to me that the shofar is multifaceted. The shofar does have more than one choice, more than one use. And it's more than function. And that's obvious when you start looking at different sounds the shofar makes as well.
Okay.
The different sounds, it can indicate crying, or it can be a sound of victory. And it depends how the shofar is used. So let's recognize the shofar is multifaceted. But what we've seen over here is that the shofar, which is used on Yom Kippur, on Yovel, leads us back to Har Sinai, and realize that there is a parallel over there, that leads us back to the secret that the Ramban reveals to us, that this is the Pachad Yitzchak, this is the sound of Yitzchak, and the Pachad Yichrad, and that's why the Yichrad of Yitzchak takes us back to the fear in terms of Yaakov and Esav. The fear of Yaakov is that his children and will be killed together with their mothers. Of course, the first time that one brother killed the other takes us all the way back to Cain and Hevel, but we see that the sin of Cain was not bringing the Bikurim. That we try to do in Chag Shavuot is on the one hand to be Kurim, but on the other hand, it should be feeling this sense of unity and feeling together as a community, because that's what ultimately allows us to receive the Torah. It's only the sense of community as one where we can possibly receive the Torah. Okay.
That question. The
Yom
Kippur, the unity, also a unity, right? That everything comes back to God and we can come back as it should be.
I didn't understand the question.